Hello and welcome to another edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla. Of course, I am your mayor, PHNX. This guy next to me, he's the vice mayor, and he is staying the vice mayor, Michael, the one and only Thunderstick Jesse Friedman.
34 days, Derek.
34.
34 days yep. Until pitchers and catchers report.
It's right around the corner.
It's getting real.
Yeah,
we
barely have any time to spend time away from baseball because it will be back before we know it. Of course, this show never spends time away from baseball, and it's brought to you by the fine folks at the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. We're going to talk quite a bit about DraftKings today and some of their odds with when it comes to the Arizona Diamondbacks. But first, the D-backs did make the signing of Zach Davies official yesterday. We had a little media time with Mike Hazen. But, of course, the one question.
It's called a press conference, Derek.
A little media time.
We had a little media.
It's not
little,
a press conference.
Little get-together.
It's
you know?
Not a press conference on Zoom in the dark for most of us.
His lighting was good yesterday.
His lighting was
actually.
Much better.
His
yes.
lighting was much
yeah,
better.
Yeah, I think he might have gotten the ring light that we sent him. But anyway, he did have some nice things to say, not only about Zach Davies, but about the rotation. One thing he didn't shy away from saying is that they might consider a six-man rotation at one point during the season with all of these starting pitchers that they have. He admitted that his vice is looking too far ahead at the schedule too early on and trying to plot out in his mind when starts are going to happen and when they're going to try to line things up. But he did tell us yesterday he was going to try to do less of that, at least until spring training came along.
Yeah, I mean, for a GM, it's got to be a little weird, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Like your off season is all about, you know, roster moves and everything. But then once the season starts, like, people forget that GMs are still, you know, their minds are still going crazy with
sure.
baseball during the season as well, right? I mean, they're watching every single game pretty much and, you know, trying to plan out all of the ideal things that could happen as far as the schedule and which pitchers and all of those things. But yeah, the six-man rotation piece was interesting. I didn't necessarily expect that, and I don't know if it's necessarily something that we should expect to happen, but he did say the D-backs would apparently be open to doing that for a period of time. I still have my personal doubts of like the D-backs having a long-term situation where Zach Gallen is starting every sixth game instead of every fifth game.
Sure, sure.
It just seems like if you have a pitcher who is that good, you know, who finished top five in Cy Young voting last year, which we're going to talk more about in a second, I mean, you're going to take a chunk of his games away if you roll with a six-man rotation for a sizable portion of the season. I don't know if I see the D-backs doing that over the long haul, but it is an interesting question. The D-backs with Zach Davies are in a position where you theoretically could wind up with a starting rotation that, believe it or not, is like oversaturated with starting pitchers who are deserving of roles. Mike Hazen, of course, was very adamant that doesn't tend to happen. You usually, if you think you have too many good starting pitchers, you probably don't. And with injuries and whatnot throughout the course of the season, you know, your guys are going to get hurt and things are going to happen. There's a lot of young guys here who might not perform as well as they need to stay in the rotation long term. But if it did happen, apparently a six-man rotation is something they would be willing to consider.
It's almost like Mike Hazen has been on this ride before and knows what it's like to not only be a GM of the Arizona Diamondbacks, but I think the same way that this team has been constructed in the past, it's similarly constructed now. It is a deeper team, and I think that just shows that he is learning from the past. Obviously, we know what a disaster seasons have been in the past due to injury, right? And even last season, this team experienced their fair share of injuries and kind of had to scramble a bit to call up young guys, give people an opportunity, do things just to make sure that they could be as competitive as possible. I still feel like they did a good job of that last year, but they did seem undermanned. And that's one thing that it seems like this offseason they're trying to ensure that they are not going into 2023. It might not be the biggest moves. It might not be the biggest needle movers, but it will be moves that make this team more competitive. And more importantly, it's going to make this team be able to last the marathon that is the baseball regular season. 162 games, you're probably not going to use a six-man rotation, but there's a good chance you're going to need those starting pitchers, not only in that role, but maybe in another role, right? The young guys still have options so that they can still go down to the minors, but we've discussed the potential of Ryan Nelson or Dre Jameson ending up in the bullpen. We've discussed Brandon Pfaadt potentially not being on the opening day roster just to start the season. It doesn't mean he's not going to make his way up here, but he might not be there when the season starts. When you look at what they're doing, it feels really like they're trying to ensure that they're not left in the similar position that they've been in the past. But
yeah, well, what's apparent to me is that the 2021 season has not been forgotten, and the scars and the aches and burns that were felt over the course of that season have not gone away. And the D-backs front office remembers what it's like to have an unprecedented number of injuries, which is what happened that year. It was not something that anyone could have expected. They got very unlucky. But even in those situations, you have to make sure that your roster, even in a worst case sort of scenario, is going to at least be somewhat viable, right? You're going to have guys in there ready to step up who are ready to pitch in the majors. And the D-backs didn't have that in 2021. And I think that for me is the theme of this whole offseason is like insurance policies everywhere.
Yeah.
Like make sure you have a backup plan at every position. Make sure your rotation goes 10 guys deep rather than six or seven guys. And Zach Davies is just another example of the team trying to do that.
Mike Hazen had some interesting comments yesterday, including about how that does bring competition to the team. And that's something they're always trying to create to get the best out of everybody, right? It's just a fact. If you don't have to worry about your job being taken, if you don't have to worry about hitting certain metrics to get your bonuses and to max out your contract, if you're just getting a ton of money and have nobody putting pressure on you in any way, that I think that's where guys start, you know, regressing as a player. You know, they have the big fat contract. There's nothing to really push them aside from living up to the expectations and kind of the promises that they're trying to fulfill based on the contract they were given. That only goes so far, though. You know, with this Diamondbacks team, the one thing that they have working for them is there's a lot of young guys. They are hungry and they're all fighting for a spot in some way, shape, or form. Very few guys on this team have a guaranteed role. And even when you look at their individual motivations, they all have a reason for trying to be their best in 2023, including guys like Zach Gallen, who are still looking at that long-term deal that he's inevitably going to get either from the D-backs or some other team here coming in the future. And I just hated the way that those words came out of my fucking mouth right now as I said them. I also noticed another thing in Hazen's press conference yesterday.
In our little get-together?
That's what he wants to call it. We were on a Zoom meeting hanging out in the dark. But anyway, Hazen has great hair. And he's inexplicably worried about his hair. And I'm just going to tell him right now, Mike, you got great hair. And it carries over to the team. I think it's the reason why we've seen the trend on the team go towards having great
hair.
That's
why this team has a thing.
I told you.
Lourdes, of course, see? Lourdes Gurriel Jr. was just a necessity in that trade.
Did you see the light
trade,
bulb
right?
over his head? I mean, it made sense to you, right? Like, Mike Hazen is obsessed with how good his own hair looks, thus all of his prospects.
How can you tell? Like, what exactly happened during the press conference
here's the thing. On a Zoom meeting, you obviously see yourself, right? And the people that care about their hair, they always give it a little, like, move or something. There's something, right? Like, I don't have the best hairline. I'm not bragging here about my hairline. But, you know, you get on there, you want to make it look the best. The other thing, too, is I'll never forget one time that Mike Hazen, who I remind you has a great head of hair, got onto a Zoom meeting and said the words before it started, "God, I look like Michael Scott in season one of The Office." And I had never wanted to comfort someone more in my entire life than I did him right then. Like, no, sir, you do not look like Michael Scott in season one of The Office. And I don't ever want to hear those words come out of your mouth again. But anyway, Mike Hazen did have some more interesting comments about improving this team, not just the hair on the team, but improving the team as a whole.
Allegedly.
the jury's still out, depending on who they might pick up. But it was interesting comments about trading for a reliever rather than pursuing one in free agency. When asked about if they were done, he made it sound like they were not. They were not satisfied with the bullpen and that they would still be pursuing another reliever, but he said that they would be most likely, and I mean most likely, he sounded like it would be done via a trade versus free agency, which kind of took us a little bit off guard.
Yeah, we've been talking about, you know, free agents who were available. You know, Michael Fulmer's still out there. We talked about Shintaro Fujinami yesterday, him signing with the Oakland A's. It's interesting. This isn't really something that Hazen has talked a whole lot about this entire offseason, the idea of trading for a reliever, maybe like little references here and there. But based on what he said yesterday, it sounds like if the D-backs are getting another reliever, which I think they really want to do, it's going to come via trade. The other interesting piece of this was in terms of what the D-backs would have to give up in order to get that. Mike Hazen also talked about how there's not much of an appetite for like a prospect for major league player type of trade. A lot of teams are going for it this year. Not that many teams are trying to, you know, just like tank the season or whatever. We're not seeing that many teams do that. There aren't a lot of teams willing to trade a big league talent off their rosters without getting big league talent in return. So if the D-backs are going to go this route, if they're going to add another reliever via trade, you might have to get comfortable with trading one of your major league players in order to get that.
Right, because I think we feel like they still have a surplus of outfielders. But when we say that, we look more towards the minors and some of their young outfielders, maybe some of the guys we were worried that might get gobbled up in the Rule 5 draft or some of the other young guys that we feel like Dominic Fletcher and such that aren't getting an opportunity right now due to how stacked the major league roster is with outfielders. And that didn't get any easier this offseason with the acquisition that the Diamondbacks made both through free agency and through trades. But I will say that it makes me wonder who they could be targeting. I think someone there in the comments, Raider Hawk Media, said Chafin Reyes and Chad Green are the best free agent relievers. There's a couple of other names out there as well. Chafin was somebody that was very high on, I think, on a lot of Arizona Diamondbacks list as well. So, but it's going to be interesting. Any ideas who they might be pursuing via trade?
Probably not Kenley Jansen, as Gabriel is talking about. I don't think the Red Sox are going to sign him and then trade him instantly, although they do very much need a shortstop. I've got a few guys, and I'm going to write about this. I'm going to have a story soon with some potential targets here and try to do as much research as I can to make sure that, you know, these moves aren't completely, or at least trades that the other teams would maybe consider to some extent. But in terms of like big name guys, like I know Gabriel also mentioned in the comments that it should be someone with control if the D-backs are trading someone off the big league roster, especially someone with some years of control. You're going to want to get a reliever back who also has some control. I know David Bednar is a name that a lot of people threw out yesterday in reply to the tweet that we threw out from our account. That's bold. That's very bold. David Bednar is one of the best relievers in baseball. The Pittsburgh Pirates, I think, are willing to consider trade offers for Bednar from what I can see, but the offer would have to be substantial. You're not trading Dominic Canzone for David Bednar. You're going to have to give up, you know, maybe an Alec Thomas, you know, a serious young asset on this Diamondbacks team in order to do that. Kind of maybe a tier below a David Bednar or like an Alexis Diaz from the Reds. I don't think those guys are super likely to happen. Scott Barlow from the Kansas City Royals, a really, really solid right-handed reliever, comes with a couple of years of team control. I could see that happening as well. Or you have more veteran types who would maybe cost a little bit less. Dylan Floro with the Miami Marlins is an example of a guy who has a couple years of control. So I'll write a story that has some more options, but those are a couple of names that are floating through my mind right now.
And if you haven't had a chance to do so, make sure to grab a diehard membership over at gophnx.com. Jesse will probably leave that one unlocked, but
that one will be unlocked. For the diehards, just so you know, we're because of the press conference last night, we're switching up the days here. So the diehard piece will come out tomorrow on Friday, even though we normally send it on like Thursday evening. So just be aware of that. There will be a story up today, but it won't be the diehard piece that's coming tomorrow.
And that was due to the media gathering.
Yes. The media gathering, you know, it was a really important gathering.
It was a really big gathering. So. Yeah, Steve Gilbert wasn't there. He's still on vacation in Costa Rica. If he's not there, then it's really not a real media gathering at all, in fact. The corresponding move in signing Zach Davies, by the way, was to DFA J.D. Bukauskas, which a lot of you may know from the Zach Greinke trade. So I guess is it time, Jesse, to maybe once again revisit the Zach Greinke trade?
I think it's maybe.
Let's do it. Let's revisit the Zach Greinke trade. It's As the Cactus Turns. Let's get this drama unfolding. Previously on As the Cactus Turns, you may know the D-backs traded Zach Greinke to the Astros for what seemed like at the time an incredible haul of prospects that we were very excited about. Very highly related prospects in the system, highly rated in the Astros system at least. You had their number 3 overall prospect, Seth Beer, number 4, Corbin Martin, and then also in the top 25 was J.B. Bukauskas and Josh Rojas.
Right.
And as it stands, I'm starting to think that trade doesn't look so good anymore. Right. I mean, it's not awful. I mean, Zach Greinke hasn't done anything to really make us regret trading him away. And Josh Rojas really has been a solid major league player for us now for a consistent amount of time, pretty much ever since that deal went down. Interestingly enough, he was the piece holding up the deal. So it makes me very thankful now that the Diamondbacks made sure that he got thrown in on that
one. Yeah, if the D-backs had traded Zach Greinke for Corbin Martin, J.B. Bukauskas, and Seth Beer, there'd be quite a bit of heartache over this trade at this point, I think. But yeah, more than anything, what I learned from this trade is that prospect rankings are a blind shot in the dark.
Meaningless!
those three guys, right? Martin, Bukauskas, and Seth Beer, I don't remember the order, but in some order were the number 3 through 5 best prospects.
It was Beer, Martin, Bukauskas. It was in that order.
Beer, Martin, Bukauskas. Yeah. There you go.
And then Josh Rojas was like at the tail end. He was like in there. I want to say like their 20s.
Yeah,
right?
He was like, 22nd, kind of a late bloomer. And of course, he's wound up being the guy who's the only guy who's really provided any value in the big leagues for the D-backs in this deal. I don't think the deal's a disaster still. I still think it's important to keep in mind that when you trade for a haul of prospects like that, you're doing it. You trade for a haul because you know they're not all going
to
pan out.
You're trying to sift through and find the diamond in the rough.
Exactly,
there, right?
Exactly. So I actually think the D-backs did okay. Getting 6 years of Josh Rojas is, being a 2-3 war, utility infielder who used at third base a lot this last year, might seem a little more at second base this season, in addition to third base with Evan Longoria. But he's a solid player. He's totally a solid player. And the D-backs also got some salary relief as part of the trade. I think that salary relief is part of what allowed them to sign Madison Bumgarner. So maybe you have an issue with how the Diamondbacks spent that money.
Yes,
but,
I do.
But I do. in a vacuum, if you're just looking at the trade, they did get some money in this as well. I think there's also an angle of this where it's like, could the D-backs have been a playoff team in 2019 if they still had Zach Greinke? I think that's, a Zach Greinke and Zach Gallen rotation, that's something that we never actually got to see, but they
could have led the league in Zachs.
They could have. And they had Zach Godley.
Yeah.
Not that far before. So right. They have something with like Zach G's. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the deal is there. I don't think the trade is all that to say. I don't think the trade is a disaster.
I have to agree with you on that. And again, like you said, I think you said it best about if you can get one major leaguer out of there when Zach Greinke was at the tail end of his career, maybe he like you said, he could have maybe provided for this team in 2019. But with the way things went after that, he kind of would have, wasted away here. And I'm thankful that they did something like this that at least brought what could be part of the core to this team in Josh Rojas. Even if he's not the most important piece, I feel like his versatility and his fire that he brings, his competitive fire, is something important. The dog in Josh Rojas is off the charts. We can't even measure it. It's incredible, but. Again, it still remains to be seen if Corbin Martin, someone in the comments said Martin will never recover from TJS, Tommy John surgery could very well be the reason why he is not, performing well, but maybe he can still make a bounce back there. We've seen what Seth Beer can do, just not consistently.
Yeah.
So maybe some of these guys can get right. Obviously, Bukauskas has to go through waivers, but he still might end up back with the Diamondbacks if he does clear. So we'll see what happens there, but no need to say we lost the trade. It just feels like at one point the laps we were doing, maybe like about how good we thought we did weren't as good.
Yeah, it's like they probably didn't win the trade, but they also like didn't lose somehow. Yeah. I that's like sort of how I feel about this.
I mean, you could say something similar about the Jazz Chisholm Zach Gallen trade to a degree, right?
Because I don't know. I feel like D-backs fans feel like the D-backs won that trade.
We're going to get into that. Don't even get me started on Jazz Chisholm and his odds to win the NL MVP because it blows my goddamn mind. But of course, like we said, make sure to grab yourself a diehard membership if you already are enjoying the content you're getting from us over here at PHNX. With every diehard membership, not only do you get free merch like this beautiful hat, this shirt I got down here, not the DraftKings. This is mine. I'm keeping this one. But get yourself any piece of merch from the PHNXLocker.com shirt or hat for free every single year. You also get yourself discounts from our partners, discounts on our events, discounts on merch that you buy besides your free shirt that you get every year. Be the best dressed here in the Valley. And also, You'll get access to Jesse's Diehards Only piece. You'll get access to all of our wonderful writers' Diehard Only pieces, as well as access to our Discord lounge, which is the best place to be an Arizona sports fan. You also get discounts at our events. And don't miss our upcoming PHNX Four Peaks Tea Party. Of course, we are all done taking, I think, ticket orders for that now. But we hope to see so many of you guys out there for our PHNX Tea Party.
We're going to be having a blast. And you can still buy them at the door.
Can you still buy them at the door? Let's get that going on. Because if so, come on out. Join us. Don't miss out on this. We're not going to turn you away. Just come out. Bring money. Bring the kids. They have the 10 and under free kids clinic that you're going to be participating in for the youngsters. But you get unlimited range balls. You get to hang out with us and watch the Suns take on the Timberwolves. I don't know which version of the Suns team we're going to get, but of course, you also get 1 free hour of range time and golf balls at Dobson Ranch to be used at a later time. So join us this Friday, January 13th. We're going to be drinking, watching the Suns, having a good time, hitting some golf balls. There'll be free food from our friends at Chop Shop, Mountain Mike's, and beer samples from our friends at Four Peaks, who will also have some swag for you guys. So also OGs will be out there. And I've told you this before, but any party that OGs is at is a party you want to be a part of. So join us for the Suns watch party against Timberwolves on Friday the 13th at Dobson Ranch Golf Course. Of course, check the link in the description. I think, like I said, we can't get you reserved online anymore, but Jesse is guaranteeing that we won't kick you out if you come to the door with
all I'm guaranteeing is that if you come, if you show up and you pay me the $36 directly, I will let you in.
I knew. He might have to sneak you over a fence, but he'll get you in.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are very excited, of course, to read some of the betting odds for the 2023 season. We've kind of been keeping an eye on what they've been doing with the World Series and National League. We've seen where the Diamondbacks have been going, and the direction isn't great as far as the odd movement. But your very own potential rookie of the year, Corbin Carroll, is the betting odds favorite to win the National League Rookie of the Year at plus 400 currently. Jesse, any surprises there?
No. None. They got it right.
They just got it right, huh?
I mean, I guess I am maybe a little surprised that they got it right. Early, like over under win totals that I've seen. I don't think DraftKings has theirs yet, but I think Caesars Sportsbook had the D-backs at like 75.5 wins,
yeah,
something like that.
Yep.
Which is quite low. I think the D-backs are being overlooked a little bit, but yeah, Corbin Carroll, your favorite to win the NL Rookie of the Year award as well. He should be. They've got Miguel Vargas behind him at plus 500. Ezekiel Tovar with the Colorado Rockies. Cade Cavalli, Jordan Walker, a guy we saw a lot in the Fall League. There's some other interesting names, but Corbin Carroll has already shown what he can do at the big league level. It was only about 30 games, but he kind of looked like a yeah. Rookie of the Year in those 30 games. So no guarantees, but I think he is the rightful favorite for this award.
Zach Gallen isn't the favorite. However, he is tied for ninth as far as favorite for the NL Cy Young at plus 1800. And we find that to be disrespectful. I mean, I only find that to be disrespectful based on the fact that Zach Gallen, in my opinion, I feel like did have a better season than some of these guys who for some reason are being predicted above him. And as a lot of people have noted, Gallen really started to catch fire in the second half of last season. So you can only help but wonder how he's going to look coming out of the gate in 2023.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so they have Sandy Alcantara, number one, which I think that just makes sense. Corbin Burnes, Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, Max Fried, Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, Spencer Strider, and then Zach Gallen. I don't know. Out of that group, is there a certain guy that you're like, oh, Zach Gallen should definitely be ahead of that
Zach
guy?
Wheeler. Zach Aaron Wheeler. Nola.
Okay.
Both of them.
I could see that. Aaron Nola has like, the last few years, Aaron Nola has like crazy, insane peripherals, like in terms of strikes out tons of guys and doesn't walk like anyone. And yet for some reason his ERA doesn't tend to be as good as maybe you'd expect it to be. I could see that. I could see Gallen maybe jumping those guys. I don't think this is egregious, though. Honestly, they have Gallen tied with Joe Musgrove. I think Gallen pretty clearly has a better shot at this than Joe Musgrove, at least in my mind.
Yes.
They do have Gallen above Julio Urias, who led the NL in ERA last year. That comes as a little bit of a surprise. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think this is too egregious, if I'm being honest.
This guy's too nice. He's too nice to the odds makers, let me tell you. Because I'm not going to be nice right now when I say, what the fuck is Jazz Chisholm doing at plus 4,000 to win the National League MVP?
That's completely outrageous. Plus 4,000 isn't that good,
right? It's not that good, but when you go look at the MVP odds, he's still like in the top like 10. And it's like, in what world, unless you're talking about him potentially being traded to a different team, does he fall in that list for you?
I mean, he's not in the top 10. He's in 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. He's 17th. He's 17th on the list.
Too high.
Too high?
Too high.
I mean, I could... He didn't play like an MVP caliber player last year when he was healthy. He was good. He was an MVP caliber, but he's also still relatively young. So, you know, they're probably factoring in that he might be able to.
The only way that happens is if he's not on the Marlins next year. That's the only way that that happens. If he gets traded off of the Marlins team.
The only way that he could win MVP.
The only way he should be ranked even that high, in my opinion.
That's probably fair.
Yeah.
This is interesting, though. So they have Soto, Betts, Tatis, Goldschmidt. That's your top four. Freeman, Acuna. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Turner, Austin Riley, Manny Machado, Pete Alonso, Nolan Arenado, Matt Olson, Kyle Schwarber. Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a little bit high for Kyle Schwarber.
Gabriel wants to know where Corbin Carroll's at on the National League MVP. He should be higher than Jazz Chisholm.
Unfortunately,
for sure.
I don't see a Corbin Carroll on this list.
That's not great. Just like the team odds aren't great, let me tell you, because they are plus 5,500 to win the NL West, plus 6,000 to win the National League, and plus 13,000, if you're wondering, to win the World Series, which is going in the opposite direction of up. It's going down. So or the value is going up. I don't know how to phrase that when it comes to betting, but not only are the odds not in their favor next season, but according to MLB.com's prediction for the next 10 World Series, which is Jesse finally finds this egregious, I'm hoping.
I do find
this. The Arizona Diamondbacks are not even predicted to be part of the story for the next 10 years. Let's take a look at that graphic that MLB.com threw up there. I hate this graphic. I hate whoever made it. This just goes to show you, anybody can have Photoshop, Jesse. Anybody can make graphics.
I just love, it blows my mind how MLB.com, like the site of Major League Baseball, is just so down with just like absurd levels of speculation.
Oh, yeah.
Like what is this? Like, we're really out here predicting World Series
in 2032,
a decade from now?
Look at the Battle of Ohio in 2032 between the Guardians and the Reds. The Reds. You put the Reds in the World Series before you put the Diamondbacks team. You have the Orioles going to two World Series in the next 10 years and winning one of them against the Dodgers. I'm not saying I wouldn't be excited about that, but oh my God, were you drunk when you put this together?
What exactly is the Giants' path to the World Series in 2025?
Yeah, and that's how are the Orioles getting to 20? They're in 2024 to lose to the Mets.
I mean, the Orioles, they're kind of on the rise. Like, I don't hate that one as much. But the Giants don't have enough upside in their organization to be like, yeah, they're gonna, like, you're not gonna predict the Giants to be in the World Series in 2025. Although I do love me that Cincinnati Cleveland matchup in 2032.
Yeah.
Just the thought of 49-year-old Joey Votto going at it with 40-year-old Jose Ramirez, that's really going to be something to watch.
And the Diamondbacks just looking on with their hand up against the glass going, we would take any of you old guys on our team. We did ask what you guys thought would constitute success for the Arizona Diamondbacks in 2023. Jesse's actually going to have an article about that on gophnx.com. But
it's my annual D-backs Twitter survey.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's kind of a fun little thing.
The interesting part about it for me is the fact that most people, I feel like, agreed that if the Diamondbacks are playing meaningful baseball games at the end of September, that is all that we can ask for at this point. And I don't even think that that constitutes necessarily going to the playoffs.
Some people said playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Most people probably
fucking Espo
didn't.
Said World Series. So Espo just would know nothing short of a World Series.
Are we really surprised that Espo said World
Series? He asks for so much.
He's covering a very troubled basketball.
I know.
Right
it's
now.
Like so it's championships or bust
some
with
optimism.
That guy.
Yeah. I think he's hoping the Coyotes will win the World Stanley Cup.
The World Stanley Cup. Lord Stanley Cup or World Stanley Cup, if you want to be correct about it. But I did think that it was interesting that most people did at least agree on that. Like, as long as this team even if they do fall short of a wild card spot, can be playing meaningful games at the end of September, either trying to get in, trying to maybe even, you know, either eke their way in or play spoiler a little bit or whatever. That would be enough. I do know a lot of people want a plus 500 record. So I guess I would have to ask you, what would constitute a winning season for you for 2023?
I think if you get to 85 wins, I think you've taken a big step forward. I know that's like almost what the projections say, but there's still, like, given the bullpen the D-backs had last year and the questions that are still there and the fact that they traded away arguably their best position player in Dalton Varsho for Gabby Moreno, who's an excellent prospect, but still a little bit unknown at this point. If the D-backs get to 85 wins, I think they've done a lot of things right. Yeah. The playoffs, I mean, that's kind of a bonus in my mind. If this team makes the playoffs in 2023, they're ahead of schedule, and, you know, these next few years are going to be really, really exciting. But even if they just get to 85 wins, that's another, I mean, that'd be an 11 win improvement over where they were in 2022. And I think at that point, you'd be really well set up to kind of push in the chips for 2024 and really try to get after it.
For me, it's a mindset. Troy Lovallo once talked about this team in the clubhouse having the wrong mindset. He said that there were too many members of this team who would come in there hoping to win baseball games instead of knowing that they are going to win the game that day, right? And I think that that is the mindset that he describes as, you know, championship teams having. They come into every single game, all 162 games, and they have that mindset that we are going to win today. Not we hope we win, not I hope we don't look like idiots out there.
That's such a philosophical goal.
It is, but it's something.
Are you one of those people who your New Year's resolutions are like,
I already told you
totally,
that. Yes, absolutely.
Totally pie
you
in the sky, like not measurable, just like
well,
I don't know.
Say win totals, but what is win totals, right? If the final wild card team wins 93 games and you fall, you know,
if the final wild card team wins 93 games, that's a statistical anomaly. I mean, you've got three wild card teams and the worst of them still won 93 games.
That'd be pretty rough. I'm saying if you're in a position where like it's that far away, then what do wins matter? Even if you are over 500 is my point.
That's fair.
You're not even close at that point to being in the playoffs as the season wraps up. I think the idea here, my philosophical idea that it's immeasurable, is that honestly, it's the way that you start seeing these young guys conduct themselves and this team conduct themselves as a whole, right? You know, there was something to be said about the way that Jake McCarthy, Alec Thomas, and Corbin Carroll adapted so quickly to the major leagues. But a part of that was their attitude, their maturity, the way that they conducted themselves on the field, the way they conducted themselves in the clubhouse. The fact that they made little things like their little outfield celebration where they put their gloves on their head and everybody's doing little snakes or, you know, doing this stuff. Like there's stuff like that, that they just really acclimated to being big leaguers really quickly. And they didn't have that look of fear. They didn't have that look of like, you know, hey, I can't believe I'm playing at this level. They just seemed ready to go. Alec Thomas had his reasons for that. Jake McCarthy might've had his own reasons. I don't know. That's what I felt. But then when you saw Corbin Carroll come up, it started. And honestly, that carries over to Dre Jameson and Ryan Nelson too. When you start to see the collection of young guys come up and have that attitude that they are all big leaguers and they're ready to play, I really feel like it's something that they are doing within the organization to prepare them for this level, right? So
yeah,
I know Torrey he talked a lot about being focused on changing the mindset of the team. The benefit here is you have a bunch of young guys now and it's easier to make them start believing that they can go into the clubhouse every single day with that attitude of we are going to win today. And it's hard to measure. It's hard to like philosophically like look at that and see if they're maturing in that way. Right. But I think it will carry over to results on the field and it'll carry over to like those guys earning their spots and becoming, you know, their everyday starters. That's my.
So you're not going to give us a win total. You're just
the
general sensation of players being in the mindset.
I like the idea that they are playing competitive games at the end of September. I don't really care about a, you know, particular win.
If you're
total.
Doing that, then you're probably in the 80,
you're probably
85.
plus 500. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And obviously, I don't know if necessarily getting to 83 wins is enough to be like, what a good season. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, so there has to be some other things. There have to be some steps forward made. I mean, maybe some of that maturity, maybe some of that winning mindset could come against the teams that have dominated them over the last two or three seasons, like the Dodgers and the Padres. Maybe that is enough. Maybe them just getting out of the first month at 500 or above is enough for me to say this season was a success.
That would be huge, honestly. I mean, if they're really at or above 500 after the first month of the season, given how difficult their schedule is, then you might even raise the bar a little bit at that point. I think 85 wins would almost be the expectation if they're playing that well against that caliber of competition.
I agree. Well, we appreciate the DraftKings Sportsbook for giving us these odds early. And of course, if you haven't had a chance to download it, right now there's an amazing offer, not only for new customers, but for existing customers during the wildcard round for the NFL this weekend. You can get a no sweat bet each day of the wildcard round. Just place any NFL bet of your choice. And if it loses, you'll get a free bet back up to $10. If you're a new customer, use our promo code of PHNX and you make a $5 bet on the NFL in any way, shape, or form, and you will get $200 in free bets instantly. You don't even have to win to get those $200 in free bets. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code PHNX. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. And we want to thank you guys for being here on, of course, the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. If you are new around here, make sure to subscribe to the channel. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss whenever we go live. And if you're listening to us right now on your favorite audio podcasting app, please subscribe to us there. Leave us a review. We thank you guys so much for the feedback. The most important thing, though, that the thing that keeps Jesse's heart beating is that you give us a little like on the video. That's it. That's all we want. I don't feel like that's too much to ask. That's all we want. But I am going to right now talking about how easy it is to get down on the DraftKings Sportsbook. Jesse, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is right now.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to give you guys my DraftKings pick of the week only because we just talked about it right now. And I'm putting my money on Corbin Carroll to win Rookie of the Year. And when I say I'm doing that, Jesse can attest to this. I'm literally doing it right now. There it is, Jesse. You see this?
Would you like to show your credit card information?
I do not want to show my passwords or anything. But there's $20 placed the bet on Corbin Carroll to win Rookie of the Year.
So how much?
I will win.
How big of a payout?
$100 on the $20 bet. Should Corbin Carroll win the Rookie of the Year on the DraftKings Sportsbook? And I'm not done. I'm going over the Cy Young Award. Okay. I have to scroll way down to find him. I hate it so much. Zach Gallen at plus 1,800. We're going to throw a $10 bet on him to win $190, Jesse.
Ooh.
And that's what we're doing. There's another one on the DraftKings Sportsbook.
So you're looking at $290 if both of these things pan out. Yeah. All right.
And then I will take you out to dinner is what I'll do.
Ooh, all right. Oh, with $290. Yeah. We're eating good.
Yeah, we're going to eat good. So. That's what we got going on here. I'm doing it right now. I did it right now. So make sure you do that on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. That's free money. We know Corbin Carroll is going to get it, right?
How many four-piece chicken tenders could we buy with $290?
Oh, my God. An unlimited supply, I feel like. You know, Gabriel wants me to put one stack down. I do not make that kind of money. You know that, Gabriel. but, of course, if I did, I would definitely spend a lot more of it on our friends at OGs. But that's a whole other thing. Speaking of OGs, by the way. They do have a brand new Happy Balance ratio product that they have out. It's CBD and THC. Jesse doesn't care about this, but he would be excited to know. Because here's the thing. There are people like Jesse out there that don't want to experience what some of us enjoy experiencing from OGs and their products, right?
Just a hater of all good things.
Yeah, I know. You're all good things, all fun times. But the Happy Balance ratio actually is a combination of CBD and THC. And if you want to talk to some scientists at a dispensary, just go talk to your bud tender. He'll break all this down for you. Basically, CBD and THC can work together to not make you feel the normal sense like that people might get from eating gummies, eating edibles, and getting that euphoria sense. But it can help with all sorts of things, including anxiety, which I can attest to. It is a big help with, as well as other things like seizures and other medical conditions. So make sure to check that out. And of course, if you are looking for the right balance ratio, find the Happy Balance over at OG's. And their flavor is strawberries and cream, so it's absolutely delicious. They're all about flavoring life, and they're all about giving you all the benefits that you can get from THC and THC-related products. So make sure, as always, to check them out at your local dispensary. Must be 21 or over to enjoy, and enjoy responsibly. We thank you guys again so much. Brian Abdallah says he likes salad, cheap dinner. That's it. We're taking you to salad.
Calculated that with $290, we could buy 89
salads.
Salad and go breakfast burritos.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, I am so down.
Who wants to meet up at a spring training game and eat a breakfast burrito?
We'll even share them with Tori Lavello.
Yeah, yeah, but he's not coming in your RAV4. He's not going to go sit in your RAV4, Jesse. I can guarantee you that. We thank you guys for sitting in our virtual RAV4 right now. We always appreciate you guys being here. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at @Cap_Caveman with a K. This guy is at Jesse N. Friedman. Our show is at @PHNX_DBacks. But of course, all roads lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys again so much. Gabriel Ferris says, meet Escobar at Fogo. I'll buy dinner if he'll come back to the team. So let's make that arrangement. But again, we thank you guys for your comments, for being here, and for being you. You're wonderful, and we appreciate
you. They're breakfast burritos, Brian. Yeah.
They're not salad burritos. No, they have egg and bacon in them. Come on.
Yeah, they're salad and go breakfast
burritos.
Don't make
me defend
underrated.
Salad and go, Brian. God. Anyway, on behalf of Leah, Jesse, myself, and Salad and Go, we thank you guys so much for being here. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you bet on Corbin Carroll to be Rookie of the Year. Let's go!